podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jones! Bowden!
He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket in association with LV Insurance. Now look at the third day's play in the first LV Insurance Test match, England-India at Trent Bridge. I think the weather has won today, Simon, don't you? I mean, it's actually was a kind of good little bit of cut and thrust for a couple of hours either side of lunch. And in the end, England will rue some missed catches and also the poor first innings batting, really. But they sort of went, they made a bit of a fight back until the rains ended play.
Yeah, it was a really interesting day's cricket. The cricket we had was absolutely fascinating. My worry is, of course, is that the weather is going to ruin this test match. Without bad weather, I mean, it really is an interesting game. I thought, credit to Sibley and Burns. It was only 11 overs, but there was a solidity actually about the way they played, and that those passages of play, those short passages of play either side at tee, they didn't look in too much trouble. And they've got a big battle ahead. I mean, it's still 2 days left, but the problem is for India is the weather forecast is ordinary for the weekend. You know, still talking about more showers, and it's that, you know, desperately frustrating situation where the ground staff get the pitch ready, the outfield ready, and then it rains again, the covers come on, and it just delays the match so much. I mean, it really frustrating in that final session. We had a situation where the umpires called the game off just as the sun came out. And it's 7 o'clock now, sun is beaming down. I mean, you actually wonder whether they could have got in, 40 minutes before 7:30 tonight. And who knows, that might have a big impact on the outcome of the match with one side or other pressing for victory on the final day. But at the moment, it feels as if the weather might win. But, England are 10 balls away from a batting disaster, as all teams are, of course, I suppose. But they did cope. I thought they coped pretty well with the pressure before tea and after tea, that opening partnership.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny, isn't it? The capricious nature of the Trent Bridge pitch, that there are spells when it zips and zaps all over the place and swings, and the keeper can't even catch it, never mind the batsman unable to hit it. And then suddenly it seems to go flat and sort of the ball's flying onto the middle of the bat. So it's a bit like that as a ground. I think we should sort of talk a little bit about, I suppose, one thing I was going to say, by the way, rain. Has certainly come to the aid of the women's game, because every time Sky go off air with a rain interruption at Trent Bridge, they show a women's 100 match. So a lot of these female 100 players are getting some good exposure, actually. People, and it's great to have something to watch as well, rather than a couple of pundits, bantering away in the studio like us. But Robinson was a good performer today, wasn't he? It must have been tough for him coming back from the situation he's been in over the last few weeks, and to bowl as well as this in this sort of high profile environment, backing up Anderson superbly. He looks like a test cricketer after two tests. He looks like someone who you kind of would more or less ink in for a few years.
I couldn't disagree with that at all. I mean, he's taken 12 wickets now in three innings. He's looked the part in all three innings. His on-field activities have been excellent as far as England are concerned. The start of his Test match career, he has decent attributes. I mean, in an ideal world, you'd perhaps like him to be able to bowl 3 or 4 miles an hour quicker, and that would actually put him sort of like in the Josh Hazlewood bracket. He's got those similar attributes. He's accurate. He's got height. And he's got something about him as well. He's at the batter, and he's been hugely impressive in his performances on the field. I mean, and you look at we talked about this last night. You look at some of the problems ahead for England. No Stone for the Ashes, no Archer for the Ashes. You don't know about one or two of the others as well. Jimmy Anderson again bowled excellently in this match, but he's 39. Stuart Broad, 35. Robinson is sort of going, is definitely going up the pecking order as, you know, a vital cog in England's bowling lineup. And he, you know, he's really good today, but perhaps just tired a bit towards the end, but that's not surprising. He bowled, you know, 27 overs and he hasn't bowled that much. He's bowled in a few T20 games. He's had a first class match, but you know, he hasn't bowled a huge amount since Lord's, and but he kept on going. And the other point as well is that England only used four bowlers in 85 overs, and one of them was Sam Curran, who only bowled 15. So then there was quite a burden on Robinson, and he took it on, and you know, he took vital wickets. I spoke to him afterwards, and he said that the wicket that gave him most pleasure was the one of Rohit Sharma, because India were 97 for no wicket. England were, you know, desperate for a breakthrough, and he liked the bouncer, and Rohit hit it down to fine leg. And the other thing he said as well, I asked him, I said, you know, have you surprised yourself how well, you know, Test cricket has gone? And he said, no, not really. He said, I thought I could do it. So that shows the sort of, you know, it shows his confidence as backing his abilities. So, you know, in a way, that's what you want to see, isn't it? From someone going into Test cricket. He is 27, so he's, you know, he's a relatively you know, mature bowler. In a way, he's probably at his prime. You know, some bowlers get picked at 23, 24, don't they? And they, you know, there's promise there, and then they might have to go out of the side and come back in again a bit stronger. But he, you know, he sort of looks the part almost straight away. You know, huge credit to him as a, you know, his bowling attributes.
Absolutely. So undoubtedly, he gets the LB Insurance hashtag In With Heart award today, which we give to someone who's shown particular guts and determination, and you know, not just in today's play, but also actually in his attitude, his approach to his disappointment after that controversy at Lord's, and obviously being suspended as a result, which certainly not everybody agreed with, but you know, it happened, and he then obviously felt a little you know, isolated for a while, and took a bit of time out from the game, but he's come back very strongly, and you know, he made light of tail-enders slicing him over the top today a bit, and got his five wickets. So well done to him, and he utterly deserves that award. We should just also, I suppose, talk a little bit about Jimmy Anderson, who again went broke another record today, or at least yesterday equaled a record. Today, it's incredible, isn't it? He's gone past Anil Kumble, so he's now only two bowlers ahead of him in all-time Test wicket taking list: Shane Warne, obviously, and Murali Easton. And for a fast bowler to have taken 621 Test wickets, it's just astonishing. It's astonishing. And I, you know, the other thing I'd say, and I haven't got a ball today, but I'm going to use an apple instead. The other thing is, you can always, it just shows that old dogs can certainly always learn new tricks, because I think what he's done in this game is he's borrowed something from Tim Southee from the World Test Championship final. And when Tim Southee was bowling, what he was doing was he was getting wickets in the second innings of that match against India by holding it with the shiny side on the left here, like that, holding it for an outswinger, but it wouldn't swing very much. It would sort of angle in and then maybe seam away. And Anderson has done that as well. Several of his wickets, I think at least three, maybe even four of his wickets, were all achieved instead of with the traditional outswing with the shiny side on the right-hand side, curving it away. He's put the shiny side on the left-hand side and almost bowled it for an in-swinger or a wobble seam, but has enabled it to target the stumps with the shine and the angle, but made it seam away. And he actually said in his interview on Sky, it's a fluke. Making it seam away is not something we looked at the seam position as it landed. Sorry, I haven't got a seam on this apple. But you know, as the ball landed, sometimes the seam was pointing that way on the pitch, and sometimes it was pointing that way. And he was asked, "Was that deliberate?" And he said, "Well, no, you know, absolutely not. It's a fluke." But because he's using the shiny side on the other side from normal and targeting the stumps more to the right-handers, he's getting his rewards on a seaming pitch. And you know, it's a new trick that he's actually learned there.
KL Rahul for India, the mainstay of their innings with 84. I mean, effectively, Anderson bowled him three wicket-taking deliveries in that innings of 84. It was an innings of tremendous discipline, concentration, and some, you know, fine shots as well. But, you know, Anderson had him dropped on 52 by Sibley, 78 Root at first slip and it finally got him caught behind, actually, for that 620th wicket that took him past Anil Kumble. And Rahul, I spoke to him afterwards as well, and he's such a quality bowler. These are the Duke's ball, difficult conditions. You really have to be at your best. And it's an admirable innings from Rahul, because also he was involved in lots of running issues as well. He nearly ran out two or three of his partners. He was involved in one run out. He battled through it, and you almost felt he deserved 100. But Anderson, it ultimately was just a fraction too good for him in these conditions. So in bowling terms, he got him out three times. But of course, he wasn't supported by his catches. And then not just Rahul, Yoz, but Ravi Jadeja as well. He's such a dangerous cricketer. Coming in at number seven. I mean, it was the selection dilemma for India. Do they play Jadeja? Do they play Ashwin? And it's a really tough call to make, isn't it? I mean, I think I'd have been tempted to go with Ashwin. I might have gone with both of them, actually, but you also want the four seamers on this Trent Bridge pitch.
I think Jadeja's just that sort of cricketer who, he threatens the outside edge of more right-handers with a left-arm spin. So if the team that you're playing against got more right-handers, which England do have now without the likes of Stokes and so on, and Moeen Ali and people like that, then therefore Ashwin's going to be less effective. And also, Jadeja's fielding. I mean, he can get a couple of wickets just wherever he fields. So he's an absolute gun in the outfield. So that probably induces it. Plus also, his batting does change the game. And more probably than Ashwin does, I'd say. And, he played a typically exuberant sort of innings today, very clever innings, and gave the Indians a massive, very advantageous 95-run lead. We have a really important part of the cricket community to highlight today as part of our Funds for Runs project profiling. I'm delighted to share that Somerset Visually Impaired CC are the recipient of a grant from LV General Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs Community Initiative to help support their club for visually impaired adults and children from Somerset and the surrounding area. The additional funding will go towards providing coaching training sessions and an end-of-year awards event for the team. So India with a 95-run lead, England just managing to hold out until the rains came with that opening pair, which at least will give them some hope. So where are we in the match? Well, let's have a look at the who's winning graphic. And that tells us that actually the draw is the favourite now by quite a long way, almost up to 70% the draw is likely. Simon, you've probably seen the weather forecast, but as it turns out, England's chances of winning this match are 6% and India's about 20. So it's looking rather like the first match is going to end in stalemate, but maybe you can tell us something different.
Well, I mean, with decent weather for 2 days, I see an outright in this game. Probably India, possibly England, if they could get a 200-run lead and set India 200 in the final innings. But the draw does now seem the most likely result just because of the forecast Saturday and Sunday. We're just not getting enough cricket. The cricket we've seen has been thrilling at times, comical at other times. I mean, some of the running and the catching, and there was amazing little sequence where Mohammed Shami was just slogging it up in the air, and there were three consecutive deliveries that went, well, one was dropped by Anderson, one went near Anderson, and one also went near two fielders who not exactly collided, but they were sort of running towards it together. And so we've had that sort of cricket, and and fascinating cricket as well. It's been a tough struggle for the batters against some excellent seam bowling. We've seen the odd good innings, Rahul and Root and Jadeja, but have we seen enough cricket, and will we see enough cricket to get a result? So I thought a draw was not particularly likely yesterday, but I can sort of see it now because the forecast is not great, which is such a shame. Sold out Saturday, fourth day, and the game is there, but I mean it could change quickly if India do pick up quick wickets. They've still got that lead. It's a decent lead on first inning, so I wouldn't rule out India. It's quite hard to see with the weather around England winning, because I can't see them getting enough time to get at least a lead and then bowl India out. But you know, it could happen, but unlikely.
It's so weird, isn't it, that it's a Saturday tomorrow and it feels like we've only into the third day. But of course, we've already had 3 days because it started on a day early. How's the atmosphere been at Trent Bridge? You know, the first time they've had crowds back for a test match for a while. So what's it been like?
Yeah, well, it's been fantastic. I mean, we all experienced the bubble last year and no crowds. And you know, it was great to actually be there and get cricket going after, you know, months of inactivity. But this is so much better to have that atmosphere. India supporters here as well, not in huge numbers, not like you'd see for white ball cricket. But it's been really well supported, this test match. I feel really sorry for the spectators who've turned up and not seen the cricket they deserve, really, for paying the money they do. And it may well be the Saturday crowd and the Sunday crowd, if many people come on Sunday seeing the forecast, are going to go away frustrated. We had another of those situations today. We had one yesterday where we had a one ball session and then a two ball session. This morning we had an 11 ball session. And then later on in the day, it looked set fair. And the rain came, the shower came, and that was it for the day, because every time they tried to get the covers off, more showers came over the ground. And then perversely, of course, they called it off and the sun came out and the spectators who were still here booed. And I can understand that. And it's what is it now? 7:15. And it's sunny now. So it's so frustrating. The weather has just been playing with the players and the spectators.
I wonder if someone could do a stat to look at how often this happens, where, you know, you lose play in the afternoon and then there's a nice clear evening. I wonder if there's a case for saying that you should try and play. It's illogical to, well, it'd be sort of logistically tough, but there are places in the world where it's so hot in the middle of the day. I think this is like in North India or somewhere in the summer. It's so hot in the middle of the day that they play kind of 8 till 11, then have a sort of siesta and then resume at 3 or 4 or something like that. You sometimes feel with English climate that it seems to be often in the afternoon where, you know, clouds bubble up and it rains and then suddenly it's all beautifully clear and it's a wonderful evening. And of course, if it wasn't a test match, they probably would have played through some of those intermittent rains. And actually, I was in the North York Moors last week and we played one game where a shower came over and, you know, just when it was quite a blowy day and we were getting all pretty wet, but you could see the cloud, the white, you know, sort of lighter air in the distance. And so we just stayed on. We got absolutely drenched. And actually the pitch played really well. The ball skidded on. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, that's village cricket for you, isn't it? Test cricket, they probably take themselves a bit more seriously. And there is a case for saying it's the ultimate form of the game, so the conditions should be perfect. But I think sometimes they could play more than they do. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the light issues is a separate one. We've talked about it many times before. In terms of the rain, I don't think the umpires have a great deal of choice. They tried to stay on, but then the shower is just a bit too heavy. And so, because once you go off and you have that shower, it just takes a while to get back on. I mean, some of the hardest working people here today, well, Ollie Robinson, who bowled all those overs, KL Rahul, who resisted for so long, but also the ground staff as well. They must have looking at it tonight as well, looking at their weather radars and thinking, oh, goodness me, we're in for another one of those days on the fourth day and possibly the fifth day. We shouldn't go, I think, this evening, Yoz. We're just talking about Jasprit Bumrah today, who came in with a test average of 2 and made 28, his highest test score. It's not his highest first class score, but his highest test score. And it was, we talked about the sort of the circus nature of some of the cricket today, with Shami whacking in the air and just wider fielders. Some of England's fielding today dropped catches and missed run outs. I think they missed about six run out opportunities. They took one of about 7. But Bumrah as well, teasing them, tormenting them in that innings of 28, hitting the ball, you know.
He had a 6, didn't he?
Magnificent shot.
And what a feeling. Yeah. You know, that I guarantee if you asked him, like in a few years' time, what's the highlight of your career? It won't be yorking some fantastic batsman or taking 5 wickets. It'll be that pull over deep mid-wicket for 6 at Trent Bridge. Because bowlers just love the feeling of batting. You know, we're not very good at it. And when we do have our one little bit of success and you hit a few in the middle, it's just such a glorious feeling. And Dinesh Karthik was saying the other day that they have actually been working, the tail ends have been working on their batting. Yeah. And it just saw Mohammed Shami is a compulsive slogger. he's never going to change. But Bumrah did apply himself a bit and found at least an ounce of batting talent.
Definitely. And those last three between them, they managed 48 runs, which is, you know, which is not bad. If you'd said that at the start of the test match, that they'd get 48 between them in the first innings, you'd be perfectly happy with that. So well done, Bumrah, for entertaining us. And also, I mentioned England's poor catching, but well done, Stuart Broad, who caught two steeplers. And he took a brilliant catch to get rid of Bumrah at the end. He showed everyone how to do it. But Bumrah's got the day job tomorrow, which is to come back and try and take wickets. So it's still there for India if there's enough play. But I can see a rainbow at the moment, yours, from the commentary box. There's a rainbow over the south of Nottingham.
Well, run outside now and go and find the pot of gold.
Pot of gold, all yeah. Right. Well, it just about sums it up, that rainbow at the end of the day's play. Anyway, entertaining but frustrating.
Podcast Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.